The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Thompson gun. Well, he stormed a lot of beaches, slept in jungles with the leeches. He saw things a young man should never see. And when they shot him in the shoulder, he got back up and he marched forward. Left a lot of brothers dead in Kwajalein. And if it wasn't for the good Lord, there wouldn't be a breath of freedom in this land. When I see people on my TV taking shots at Uncle Sam, I hope they always remember why they can. 'Cause we'd all be speaking German, living under the flag of Japan, if it wasn't for the good Lord and the man. If it wasn't for the good Lord and the man. Now I'm the grandson of a soldier, and I'd fight the whole world over if duty called and freedom's on the line. But thanks to the greatest generation and the ones still fighting for our nation, I've never had to kill for my way of life. And if it wasn't for the good Lord and the man, there wouldn't be a breath of freedom in this land. When I see people on my TV taking shots at Uncle Sam, I hope they always remember why they can. 'Cause we'd all be speaking German, living under the flag of Japan, if it wasn't for the good Lord and the man. If it wasn't for the good Lord and the man.
And you know, there was a lot of men that went to war. A lot of them that didn't come home. But I, you know, right out of high school, I went up to work in the woods, and I worked with men. And I was relayed this story about Tom Oglesby. And I think Tom's still alive. And I worked with Tom briefly, but I worked with the guys that worked with him a lot. And they told me that Tom told them that when he was in the service, they put a 50 caliber machine gun on him. And he had a guy to carry the tripod and another guy to carry the ammunition. And when they stormed the beaches, I'm assuming Normandy, the tripod carrier got killed, the ammunition carrier got killed. Tom threw the tripod away and put the ammunition on his back, and he went through the war that way. He didn't stop and yell point of order and brush some hair out of his eyes like some of our local people here.
No, yeah, that's the least that they do. Good morning to everybody, and a happy day after Veterans Day to the vets out there. Thank you for your service, and we wanted to start to show off with a bit of an honor to you. But, yeah, Nick, the idea of honor and respect has kind of disappeared in the United States.
Well, you know, one thing that struck me about that song is when he said we were blindsided in Hawaii by the Japanese. And it seems to me that's the last war we were in that we didn't pick.
Yes, that would be a true statement, because Korea we picked, Vietnam we picked, Grenada we picked, Iraq we picked. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that sounds about right, Nick. You're actually smarter than I thought.
Well, everybody gets lucky once in a while. Stay tuned.
Yeah, well, that was your one for the show today. So, Nick, it's been 2 weeks. Leo is safely back in Thailand and enjoying the humidity and the heat from the last I heard. So he thanked me and you guys, you for letting him come in and offer some opinions. So there you go.
You know, I talked to people, and they really enjoyed his point of view and thought a lot of him. And maybe you can call in sometime and talk.
I'm sure he'd be willing to do that. You know, the funny thing is he was going through a hard time, to be very blunt. Got himself in a bit of a mess with the bottle and had nowhere to go. And so I invited him to America to clean up and get sober, as it were. And we just started talking, and I told him about this radio show. And I go, you want to go and listen in? And so, of course, he came in, and the rest is history. But he's been around the world. I mean, there's almost a country he hasn't touched foot in. And so I thought his opinion or his point of view looking inwards at us versus us, you know, us always looking out, I thought that was a unique perspective we wanted to have on the show for a while.
And I enjoyed him very much. He's a very likable, intelligent person. So let's move on. We have a new Howdy Doody Club member, but before we get to that, I want to talk about the Pledge of Allegiance since we just got off that song. And when we pledge allegiance to our flag, in my opinion, we're showing respect for our country.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing that sets America apart is we're the only country in history that does that and actually is ingrained into us. I mean, we do it in what we used to before the woke folks took over. We used to do it in school because that's what sets America apart is the fact that we love our country. We love it from a young age. And as we go along, sometimes we're called to make the sacrifice. And it's because we have that pledge of allegiance and we respect what it stands, what we used to. I don't think that's the case anymore.
Well, you know, when I was in grade school, I didn't really know the words to all of it, so I just stood up there and mumbled along.
Yeah, and as long as you put your hand over your heart, that's really all that the teacher was looking for.
At one of the supervisors' meetings, I started talking about honor. And honor is something that's earned, like respect.
Yes.
And it's not just given to you. And I noticed a couple people at the supervisors' meetings. One is Christian Gardner, and I pointed out before that he gets down on one knee and puts his head down during the Pledge of Allegiance. And that started with Black Lives Matters and Colin Kaepernick.
Yep.
And I called him out on it.
Yes.
And he stood up for a couple more meetings, and then he came up with somewhat I consider a phony excuse that he's paying homage to the people that fell for our country when he does that.
Lion sack of poo.
Well, you know, it shows that he thinks we're pretty dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, that we don't correlate his kneeling or whatever he's doing with Colin Kaepernick, probably one of the great traitors of our time.
So anyway, I started looking around during the meetings, and I look in the back, and there's Annalise Pierce. And she's way back there where I suspect she's positioned herself so nobody will notice. And she stands there like a penguin with her hands down beside her sides and doesn't say a word during our Pledge of Allegiance.
Well, why would you?
And so I called her out on that at the supervisors' meeting. And she came up, she did an article in the Shasta Scout, and I'm going to read it to you. For love of country, this week during a public comment at the Board of Supervisors meeting, I was called out by a member of the public, that would be me, who insinuated that maybe I didn't love my country enough to live here. Well, what I said is if you can't do the Pledge of Allegiance and respect our flag, maybe you should find another country. That sounds like a good plan to me.
Yes.
He made the comment because I chose not to raise my hand to my heart during the Pledge of Allegiance. I also said that she didn't even bother mouthing the words. Where my perspective may differ from that individual is I believe the true commitment to one's county and country is shown not by saluting the flag or reciting the pledge, but by being in service to our shared community.
Inclusiveness. Yes, great word.
At Shasta Scout, we're fully committed to public service journalism that's created with and for
the people of Shasta County. Well, I think it's mostly for if and for the left-leaning people of Shasta County. And if you could see Inside Scout, you'd see an organization that runs on strength of will and heart, courage and compassion, integrity and intelligence, and a healthy dose of unflappable hope. Some may think that failing to show appropriate patriotism could somehow make us outsiders, but we know better. Forging ahead, Annalise Pierce.
Well, you know, Shasta Scout, you got to give her credit. I mean, as that lady documented at the Board of Supervisors a couple sessions back, you know, they're funded by George Soros, which is obviously a flag-waving, God-loving American who, as a Jew in World War II, turned in fellow Jews to the Nazis. But that's who supports her, Shasta Scout. I don't see anything wrong there.
You know, I noticed another thing about it. They're constantly begging for donations to keep going.
Oh, well, you know, that's the thing is, actually, it's funny, is I think Bill Maher might be one of the few left-leaning, and lately it's kind of funny, as he's sounding more and more right-wing kind of conservative, so I hope I don't ruin his show, but most liberal platforms fail because all it does is have grudges and divisiveness within their program, and so people don't listen. There's no hope there.
Yeah, but, you know, at Shasta Scout, we're committed to public service journalism that's created with and for the people of Shasta County, and that's how she's showing her patriotism.
Ah, yeah.
You and I are journalists.
We are, kind of.
The people at Citizens for the Citizens Press here, and Richard Glardo and his crew, they're journalists.
Yeah.
Everybody that has anything, if you write a letter to the editor, I guess that would make you a journalist.
At least you have an opinion.
If they chose not to pledge allegiance to our flag, there'd only be three or four people standing.
Well, I'd be willing to bet money if you did an honest assessment with Mrs. Pierce and her folks. They're probably one of the flag-waving Palestinian Hamas-supporting people that are demonstrating all over the world. So I'm guessing if we were to have an honest conversation, that's where she stands. So that tells you all you need to know.
I believe when you choose to stand or kneel, you're starving for attention. You're just begging for attention to yourself.
Well, you know, the worst part is Kaepernick actually didn't pay a big price. He should have been kicked out and lost all his endorsements, and that would have stopped it, I think, immediately. But the guy has become a multi-millionaire. So people see that, and they hold him up as some bastion of great, valor. And the thing is, he's a coward. You know, it's this country, this system, this racist, ist, sexist, whatever, that allowed him, a kid from a mixed mom and dad, to become a top-rated quarterback and make millions of dollars, and he hates this country. I can't figure that out.
And the people that raised him adopted him.
What's my point?
I wonder where he'd have been if he hadn't been adopted.
BLM or Antifa is my guess.
I think you're probably right. You know, I'm sure I sent it to you. Ran across...
You send me a lot.
A video from Stephen Crowder, and he said that kids that are born in a traditional mother-father family have like a 7% chance of getting in trouble.
Yeah.
And kids that are born or are raised by a single father have the same statistic.
Oh,
so, you know, if Colin had been raised by his mother, there's a good chance he wouldn't have played pro football unless he was in the same cell with Aaron Hernandez.
Well, exactly. And you know what's funny, Nick, is this is a little known fact, but look it up. Don't trust me. Back until the early 60s, the black population was 95% Republican voting. They had higher education, and they had a more nuclear family structure. And it was Johnson's great new society thing that ruined all that. But when you have a family structure, there is discipline. There is, I don't know, love. There's group. There's belief in something. And
there's there's consequences for bad behavior. Daddy will spank your bottom.
If he's a good dad. And so, you know, this stuff that we're seeing now where people are disrespecting the flag, they hide behind some, well, you know, I have a right in the United States. Yes, you do have the right. But if you don't like this country, leave. Just get out now while you can. That's all I'm suggesting.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, it's not going to be surprise me if we get some shooting going on here pretty quick.
Well, you know, we don't want to go down that avenue. I've been doing tons of research. I'm in real estate. The market has obviously changed. I don't want to get into any kind of my personal thoughts because I don't want people to freak out. But there's a lot of stuff that's being lied to us from one side of the aisle only. Let's just be clear. It's left, not right, left, who's lying about everything, including unemployment, inflation, everything that we've got going, energy, electric vehicles, the Green New Deals. And we are headed for and the thing is, Nick, now is unlike in 2008 to 2012, we were Americans. We didn't hate each other. We didn't have cities being plundered and destroyed. That, to me, is now something that is the X factor that we're going to be dealing with. And it's these people that just don't respect our country or love our country that are going to be the ones instigating it.
There is one thing that 2008 has in common with right now, and that is that our government created it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. And this one actually has been, well, since 2008, it's funny, is I could go through and give you a documentary and give you a A through Z, how did we get to the housing recession? And if I told you it started with Bill Clinton and I could prove it, you would understand that we got to 2008 because of Bill Clinton.
How can you say that when Barney Frank got up there and said there's nothing wrong?
Well, it's because, in a nutshell, Clinton, as the first black president, wanted minority home ownership. So he instructed the banks to start giving loans to minorities.
Instructed, insisted,
instructed. Well, made them. Him and Janet Reno instructed banks to start giving things, loans to minorities, and basically the bank said they don't qualify. It's not a color thing. We only like green. It's not a color thing. And they said that doesn't matter. If you don't do it, we're going to tar and feather you in the public square. So the bank started doing all this stuff, and it led to the pick-a-payment option arm NAGAM loans that we got in 2003 and 2004. And it was Barney Frank, Christopher Dodd, and Charles Rangel who lied to the American people and said that everything was solvent. Fannie Mae was top-notch. And it's funny, is Dodd, Frank, and Rangel are probably the three largest genuine monetary criminal people in history. I mean, they might be up there with Friedman. But then they got the right rules to fix what they were doing, which were actually made it even worse. So when you say you think things are going to get a little shooty, I don't doubt you.
You know, something about Barney Frank that came up and was just dropped. He was involved with a homosexual house of prostitution. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And it just made the headlines. You never heard about it again.
It was put away as fast as it came up. Kind of like, Epstein, was in a cell and got murdered and then basically nothing to see here. Move along. Keep moving on.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's get to the Howdy Doody Club. This person, I've got a block of the name. I can't remember the name, but I think you'll recognize them. Can we have the first clip on the Howdy Doody Club?
Say, kids, what time is it? Okay, gang, let's go.
Okay, well, there we go. Damn, I just almost had that name at the tip of my tongue. Let's play the clip. Supervisors meeting.
Loris Lacero, followed by Robert, and then we have Leslie Sawyer after that.
Just for the record, for everybody to know, I dumped Patrick Jones. Jim Garmin. I'm sorry. Nick Garner. You know, this is what you support, Patrick. Crap like this. And another reason he's constantly bugging me and everything because he asked me out. That's embarrassing. I would never go out with him. So I told him if he keeps this crap, I want to put all the emails he sent me actually. So, this is a joke. This is a freaking joke. This is serious. This is our tax money. The board of supervisors are abusing their position. Tim Garmin, why don't you just have the balls to kind of say that you're the one who wanted this item to be put on the agenda? The reason you want this is because you made a deal. Here's the thing. You get, your check is garnished by child support. Why don't you say that that's why you need the raise?
So, there you go. Welcome to the Howdy Doody Club. I forgot her name again, but it rhymes with a female body part. What was it? Anyway, I'm thinking about Patrick Jones when he was broke up with. Let's play that third clip right now.
Thank God in Greyhound you're gone. Thank God in Greyhound you're gone. I didn't know how much longer I could go on. Watching you take the respect out of me. Watching you make a total wreck out of me. That big diesel motor's playing my song. Thank God in Greyhound you're gone. Thank God in Greyhound.
Well, there you go. We are going to have, we're going to bring up the Howdy Doody Club. There's a lot of candidates out there now.
Well, and you know what's funny is I will side with Dolores on this one a little bit because, you know, that she has a valid point that, you know, the Board of Supervisors, which is funny, is she has a valid point, but then she broke it by bringing in a personal thing in the first place. But, you know, she said that she dumped Patrick Jones, but when she says this is our tax dollars, this is serious, that part is great, but she started off by insulting Patrick Jones. So it's funny, she's okay to insult, but then she's demanding that we respect the process. You can't have it both ways. That's just not how it goes, but she had at least a valid point near the end there.
Well, going back, damn, I forgot her name again. Going to the point of order. This originated with Christian Gardner.
Yes.
Three times the Board of Supervisors has been took a timeout. Everybody had to leave the room. Because Christian Gardner and Nathan Blaze is involved, Nathan
yep.
Pickney,
yep.
And somebody will be talking and you'll yell out point of order and they won't sit down, they won't shut up, they won't leave when they're kicked out, the sheriff won't insist they leave, and it's just gotten to be a game with them. They're like third graders that know that nothing's going to happen, so they just keep it up.
Well, that's right out of the liberal playbook, you know, rules for radicals, is you create chaos.
3 days ago. At an emergency meeting, it was called by the supervisors. They were going to talk about a new county attorney.
Yeah.
And county council, I think they call it. And at the meeting for public comment, here they go again. Christian Gardner, point of order. Nathan Pickney standing up. They won't sit down. Patrick has a lot of patience for those people.
Yes.
And he'll say, please sit down. You're out of order. Sit down. Don't interrupt. Finally, he says, we're clearing the room for the rest of the meeting. The only ones that can stay is the news media.
Yeah.
So these two give us the boot, and they cause it. And there's people that have things to say about that. I would have liked to thank the supervisors for being so picky about picking a county council. They've gone through about six people, and none of them has satisfied them.
No,
they want the right person. They don't want just some idiot coming along. So don't. I didn't.
I didn't. I complimented, as a matter of fact. So anyways, Nick, you know, it's funny is that is the rules for radicals. That is exactly what
we just got a sign here says, don't speak about Christian Gardner or Nathan Pickney. I'm so sorry. Go ahead. I didn't speak about him. I played him.
Well, that's
I'm going to play some more after that.
Well, and that's the funny thing is it's all public. It can be found at any Board of Supervisors. So whether we talk about them or not, it's already public history. So that's neither here nor there.
But and the public needs to hear it.
Well, and the thing is, you know, that's the actual crux of it, is they disrupt everything. They throw poo at the fan, and then they walk away, and you're left trying to figure out how to deal with the chaos that they've created. And then they get the luxury of blaming you that you didn't control the chaos they created.
That's right.
And that would be Nathan and others who get up there and just abuse the Board of Supervisors. I'm willing to bet money no conservative has got up there and called them all kinds of personal names and the whole works. I haven't heard it. I haven't seen it.
Absolutely. I'm probably the one that's most out of order when I yell point of order just to rub it back in their noses. It's okay for them to do it, but not for us.
No, well, that's their rule book. That's exactly how they get up every morning, is to create chaos for us.
And they get in there at those meetings and they say, this is so chaotic, this public comment, we don't have time to get to the people's business. Well, they're the ones that are creating all the chaos. They're being dishonest. And believe it or not, our supervisors sit through it for up to 3 hours, and then we get the county's business done. It hasn't hampered the county business. What it's done is lengthened out the meetings.
Yeah. Well, and I understand, because it used to be at the end of the county business, and I think somebody moved it to the front so that the folks could have their say, but I would be willing to bet a large chunk of coin, you know, quarter, maybe 50 cents, that if you just remove the liberals from the audience, the meeting would probably be over 3 hours earlier.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm willing to say that. I mean, I've seen the videos. You send me stuff all the time, and I've said this on the radio, is when you co-host with Nick, Nick sends you a lot of stuff, and I've watched it, and it is almost exclusively left-leaning liberals, which I don't know if there's anything other. I don't think I've ever seen a right-leaning liberal, so we'll just say liberals, who get up there and just go off, and they accuse people of the most heinous stuff that's not even close to being true. And so if you just got them out of the meeting, it would go great.
Christina? Break. Okay, we got to take a break. We'll be back. Maybe I'll have another Howdy Doody clip for you.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, Shasta County Supervisor, District 4, inviting you to my fundraising dinner this November 18th. Anderson VFW, doors open at 4 p.m. Lots of great items, trips, and of course, lots of fantastic guns. Barbecue dinner by Rockin' Pete's. I'm proud of the work that we have accomplished this year, and with your support, I'd like to continue. Supervisor Jones's fundraising dinner this November 18th. For tickets, you can go to Jones's Fort or call me at 530-222-3223.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Taggart and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no side effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult to treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by, get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
For most Americans, Thanksgiving is the largest meal of the year. You'll serve only the best to your family when you shop Kent's Meats and Grocery for all your holiday table fixings. Place your orders now and choose from locally grown, free-range, all-natural and organic Willy Birds, Diesel Organic Fresh Tom and Hen Turkeys, and bone-in and boneless whole or half hams. Kathy's Deli has holiday party trays, salads, side dishes, desserts, and special orders to round out your Thanksgiving meal. Order early by calling 365-4322. Kent's Meats and Kathy's Deli on Airport Road, open 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week, including Thanksgiving Day.
We're back. Poke the hornet's nest. Listen, there's been a complaint that there's a lot of profanity being used on the phone when you call here. Please try and refrain from using profanity. We'd hate to have to get a restraining order against you. You know who you are. So,
let's go. Second half. Let's make it happen. What do you got?
Hey, well, there's a gal by the name of, what is her name? Where is it? See, I have such a hard time. Judy Salter. She took and, well, why don't we play Judy? Where in the heck is my clips? Here they are. Okay. No, that's not them. Oh, give me a second. You're dealing with the handicapped here.
Boy, howdy.
Here we go. The second clip. No, let's play the first clip. Can you do the second clip? Okay. This is going to be Judy, and then we're going to go back to the first clip where it's Tim. I've got my clips mixed up.
Ah, Nick, come on. You got to be better than that, man.
Anyway, Judy Salter felt insulted.
When, at the end of the last board meeting, I did come up to speak to Supervisor Crine. The chamber was empty. Not quite sure if there was still somebody over here on the staff in the room, but I was actually coming up to say something positive about the charter amendment. I'm not opposed to charter amendments. I was only concerned about the way it was structured, and I wanted to let him know that. But before I got very far into that conversation, we exchanged words about why I didn't meet with him before the campaign, during the election campaign. And I said it's because I was a strong supporter of Erin Reznor. I was contributing to her. I was working on her campaign, and it would have been a waste of both of our times. I was totally committed to Erin, at which point he told me that my time was up, that I was too old to be doing this. What was I, 70? I was kind of flattered because I'm actually 75. But it was time for me to step back and let other people do these things, get involved. Well, when he did that, he actually undermined my experience, my knowledge, and he also perpetrated a very harmful stereotype about older individuals. I mean, look at this room. There are a lot of us that are over 55. We're valuable. We're valuable. Age should never be a barrier in participating in politics or any other aspect of public life. It's crucial to recognize that people of all ages bring valuable perspectives, and their voices should be heard and respected.
Let's cut that out. Okay, so it's important to
your comments highlight.
It's important to realize when you're over the hill too.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, let's look at the commander in chief. If age is not a barrier, then he's doing a great job, and you know, let's leave it at that.
You know, she's picking on Kevin and the supervisors here. She and her group of older women were instrumental in building Reading into what it is today.
Yeah.
And now that we've got the riverfront specific plan going, they've got 20 community members in there suggesting how it should go, and not one of them's on there. What's that telling them?
What do you mean? When you say when,
they're not interested in what these older people think. The 20 members in there advising the riverfront specific plan are younger. The younger crowd is taking over. It's time to realize. It's time to move over and let them take over.
Well, and age is not an absolute. Just because you're older and have more quote-unquote wisdom doesn't necessarily mean it's good wisdom. You know, look at what's going on in our country, and AARP is a liberal-leaning left thing that doesn't believe in our country. And so just because you're older doesn't necessarily give you unfettered, unlimited right to just have an opinion that we should all listen to.
And look at what these people have brought us. They've brought us Turtle Bay and the walking bridge and all these walking trails and all these nice things, the downtown Reading. And look at the criminals that are running around. They should have brought us a jail.
Yeah.
I mean, look at that new building that the supervisors' chambers are in. That was built with tobacco settlement money.
Oh.
I would have much rather that tobacco settlement money go to building a jail, because you can throw them in jail and they can't smoke. Maybe some of them would have considered it a rehab from tobacco.
Nick, now you're driving me crazy, because, you know, what we got instead is we have two courthouses across the street from each other. We don't have a jail, but we've got two courthouses to not sentence people to jail. Isn't that amazing?
Let's hear Tim. This is clip number one. Tim is apologizing for what was said. And remember, nobody was in the room except her and Kevin.
Yeah.
So go ahead with clip number one.
Made it through the grapevine this week of what was said after that meeting. And I don't know exactly what was said, but I did speak to Judy Salter myself directly, and I just want to take this moment to say that I'm sorry, Judy. You shouldn't have to be put through that kind of a conversation. This isn't North Korea. This isn't China. We shouldn't be telling our own people, we don't want to hear from you. We don't want you involved. Go away. When you start to try to silence a certain group of people, it's not healthy. It's not good. And again, I apologize to everybody, not just Judy. And with that, I'd like to make a motion that we try again to bring back and make a code of conduct.
Hey, we're all done with that clip.
That's funny. We don't like to silence a group of people. What have the liberal woke done since Obama got in there? They have spent in billions, if not trillions of dollars, defunding, deplatforming, shutting us down, unfriending us, blocking us. But according to Tim, that probably is okay in Mr. Garman's ideas, but we can't have a private conversation between a person and another where he wasn't present. And he's going to apologize for something he didn't hear, for the record, and he doesn't have proof that actually happened. That's pretty impressive, in my opinion.
So, let's go to clip number three. This guy I call idiot. I think his name's Eric. Number three, on the spot. Boom, dee-da-doom, boom. Whoop, whoop.
She's got a finger in there. It's a pointing finger, so she's looking for something.
Okay, we'll get there. Play it when you get to it. But that's the thing. Nobody was privy to that conversation, and nobody knows anything about that conversation because Kevin's too much of a gentleman to go out and bloviate about it, but evidently the other party is more than happy to go out to all
You're
her friends. Go ahead. Here we
Just
go.
Just a liar. Time and time again. We hear it. We see it. Your face gets red. It's a tell. You have this tell. It comes from here. It goes all the way up here. And we know you're guilty and you're a liar. You know, I am so troubled by having a representative for the county sit up there and tell people that he treasures family, that he treasures his church and his community, and he can sit there while someone who is two-thirds of his height, somewhat below where he sits, and tell her that she looks like she's 150 years old. You're laughing about it.
I
stood back in their room. I couldn't hear all the comments, but I could see her recoil. You say that conversation never occurred. You are a liar.
Okay, let's.
And you're going to pay for it in recall.
Let's go. Now, who's the liar?
Well,
he saw the conversation, but he didn't hear it.
No, and he saw her recoil because obviously people don't have reactions when they're having a discussion. So that must have been that Kevin said something heinous to her. Maybe he said something truthful and she didn't like it. Maybe.
That would be my suspicion. Listen, we've got one more clip of people running down Kevin. And then I've got two clips of people sticking up for Kevin.
Oh, let's hear them.
So, you know, but that is really something.
Well, again, this is going back to Garman making the statement about, you know, we can't have one group, blah, blah, blah. And these guys have an unfettered, unhinged hatred of Kevin Cry. And virtually every single thing they have said getting to this recall has been a lie. He didn't cost the county money. The conservatives, myself included, don't like the Dominion machines, and I completely supported their vote. And they got an agreement with the casino for millions of dollars, and yet they keep putting out this big lie. So I'm not sure who's telling the truth on this. I'll just err on the fact that I'll just say, Nick, I wasn't there. I don't know what was said. How's that?
You just ask me. I'll tell you.
I know. You'll make it up as you go.
Clip number four. This is Steve Kahn.
Some of these important issues. Now, I know you, Mr. Cry. I know Judy, and you're a liar. Okay, you are a liar. I know from what I have listened to you say, and I'll tell you what: if you want to continue to accuse people of lying, I'll make it my point to list all the lies that you've told at every board meeting from this time on.
Please do.
If you want to play that game and you want to accuse honorable people of lying, I'll repeat the list. Now, I don't know whether 3 minutes will be long enough, but I'll give it a shot. Now, also, the fat shaming, you know, it doesn't surprise me that you would elder shame. You fat shame saying that.
Isn't that something? Okay, well, I'll challenge you, Steve. Our next show, I'll give you 3 minutes to call up and tell us all of Kevin Cry's lies.
And based on fact, not what you think, not your interpretation, not how you feel about it. Factual lies. I'd love to hear that. That would be a good 3 minute stint there, Nick.
And now he mentioned fat shaming. It's been mentioned a few times. Kevin said something about people being responsible for their mass body index. I looked mine up, and I'm overweight. I'm 6'2 and 200 pounds, and I've got a 25.7 MBI, and my ideal weight would be about 178.
Wow.
Isn't that something? You ought to look yours up. I mean, I think it's
I don't want to know mine, Nick.
But we'll get to the gal that thinks she was fat-shamed, Susan Barrymore. And I'd like to point out a couple things about Susan. Number one, she and that gal, I can't remember her name, it rhymes with a female body part, and Nathan Pinckney and Christian Gardner, they're some of the top pushers for the recall. And Susan Barrymore said that they've been in touch with Gavin Newsom in his office, and they would like him not to appoint anybody should there be a vacancy in the board there. And then a couple, 3 or 4 or 5 weeks later, she got up there and said, we have contacted his office, and if he's going to appoint somebody, we would like it to be a conservative.
That ain't going to happen.
So I hear through the grapevine that she has been kicked out of the recall committee because she was sneaking around behind everybody's back wanting to be the appointee.
Oh, wow.
And now I hear she's moved and is going to run in District 2.
Wow.
Against Tammy.
There you go.
Who's going to be head panda there?
I don't know.
This should be very interesting.
Well, you know, and it's funny is anybody, any person that is listening to this, if they have one cell in their body who thinks Gavin Newsom's ever going to appoint a conservative, I don't care if it's the garbage pickup kid, it ain't going to happen. He hates our side. He would never in a million years appoint a conservative to anything. Just being clear.
But the thing is, it insults our intelligence.
Well, that's it.
That's what it does. They think we are as dumb as they are. They're followers in this.
Well, you know, and that's the new kind of reasoning is everything they accuse you of, they are doing. And the more they make sound, the more you know you're, quote unquote, over the target. Because everything they believe in, everything they do, every person they elect is insulting our intelligence.
Before we get to clip 5 and 6, I wrote this little deal here. I'm going to read it to you. In my opinion, Judy Salter was scorned.
Huh.
Scorned. Oh, I'll find it here and tell you what it is. A person is judged by the company they keep. The group Judy has attached herself to at the Board of Supervisors meetings is the most slovenly, dishonest group I've ever seen in one place. They are responsible for having the public removed from the chamber 3 times for 10 minutes for timeouts, because of disruptive behavior, and be kicked out of the chamber altogether 3 days ago. Thank you, Kristen, Nathan. They are loud, dishonest in their comments. Susan Barrymore, that I just went over that. This is the group that Judy Salter has attached herself to. And who wouldn't scorn Judy or any of these people if they approached you after slandering and outright lying about you for 3 hours?
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't give them the time of day. Not a one of them.
No, I would. If I was Kevin, I would have told her to have public comment. That way there is no behind-the-scenes stuff. Myself.
People, especially women, exaggerate and fabricate. Usually they fabricate how and why they were scorned. In my opinion, when Kevin advised her that at her age she should enjoy the remaining years of her life she has left, that her time is over, he's right. She felt scorned and in an emotional tiff, exaggerated and embellished her private conversation with Kevin to her fellow recall retards. To me, that shows a lack of ethics. Private conversations should be remain private.
Yes.
And, you know, I've irritated a few females. I think one might be one's being talked about today. I suspect there's going to be some embellishment on the comments that are made towards me.
Well, I'm sure of that. I mean, Nick, you're a pretty controversial guy. That's why I like you. But, you know, it's interesting that these folks are taking a private conversation that there's no proof happened and or how it happened. And it's not that I'm accusing the lady of misstating the facts, but they've turned it into this whole thing again – against Kevin. I mean, these Kevin, if you're listening, stop talking to these people, period. They don't like you, they hate you, and they're going to work on an aha moment with you. If they have somebody that wants to talk to you, just tell them, speak at the public so everybody can hear it. Because here's an example that may or may not have actually happened, and they're now using it as a rallying cry of what a bad person you are. It's crazy. Like Nick says, you guys get abused and called every heinous thing in the book, and then after the event, they want to come and have a word with you.
Scorned, the definition scorned. Of scorn, to refuse advice or an offer to help. I imagine she was going to offer an awful lot of help to Kevin. It was actually about the charter county. They seem to think that that's going to upset the whole balance of our county when, in fact, anything that goes on that charter has to be voted for by the people.
Yeah.
You scorned all my suggestions. That means you refused them.
Well, I mean, and my guess is if she actually had a list of them, they were probably all bad.
Contempt and disdain for someone. Well, you know, you guys talk about me for 3 hours. I'm going to have a little contempt and disdain for you. What'd you expect?
Yeah.
Maybe come begging? Maybe a Rodney King. Why can't we all get along?
Yeah. Exactly. They beat on this poor guy more than probably Patrick, which he gets his fair share. I think Chris, just because he's so big, nobody really gives him too much crap, which is nice. But Kevin, these people have got, you know, in baseball, we used to say this, they just have a hard-on for this guy, and they're just going to do everything in their power to minimize him, and it's embarrassing.
Lies never quit. We're going to go to clip number 5. This is Kim Wood. Kim is a very eloquent speaker, and Mary Rickert doesn't like her. She's always riding her and snickering and stuff like that. So you'll pick up on this while she's talking. Could we hit pick, bit, 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 clip
so,
number 5?
One thing I don't know what happened with the exchange between Kevin and Judy. And Judy, when she was speaking, admitted that she didn't even know if there was another employee over here. But Team Soros over there has decided that Kevin's guilty, even though they didn't hear it either. But at any rate, that's how it goes. I do appreciate Judy. One other thing she said, she admitted that she's Team Reznor. And so, you know, one of the things I want to talk about, and I'm sorry I didn't get your permission, but, you know, I run my mouth anyway. I don't ask people for permission. So, you know, we've had a lot of problems with the Woodlands. It's a lot of chaos and craziness. And I had Kevin and Mark Mazzano come take a walk around the Woodlands, and he sat down with two of our on-site managers, and he offered them stacks of cards to be able to take our children to Ninja HQ. And one of the reasons I had reached out to Kevin, don't push me.
That's
one
Mary.
Of the reasons I had reached out to Kevin was, you know, I understand what doesn't happen at the Woodlands, but we had children in trouble, like kids who had been expelled from school, children, fentanyl overdoses, like we're talking serious stuff here. He offered, Kevin Cry offered to bring a $10,000 a month program, the adventure camp type program, Ninja. Why are you snickering at me like that? Kevin offered to bring this $10,000 program and it was declined. They told him no. But let me tell you what they're doing. NBCSS is cozied up with Aaron Reznor. They're running their Thanksgiving program, having Aaron Reznor give out turkeys. But here's another thing. I was buying groceries for one of our tenants who didn't get her EBT. I guess there were 700 or 800 people in Shasta County during the month of October that had their cash aid and EBT stolen right out of their bank accounts before they even got to touch it. So I was buying groceries for one of those people. And she wasn't there when I came with the groceries and wanted to deliver them to her. It was a wagon full of groceries. When I got into the office and I'm trying to unload these groceries into the community kitchen, who's in the office? We had our two on-site managers and Siapa from the head office. And what were they drinking? They came in with a little carrier pack of Dutch Brothers. And I'm willing to bet that they didn't pay for it. And I'm asking all you guys, whoever has oversight in this, dig in there and investigate. Because we have children who are dying, children who are being expelled from school. We have a supervisor who offered to bring in an expensive program and wasn't allowed to. Well, we have an apartment management company who's sucking up to Aaron Reznor, the person Judy wanted. Thank you.
Chair.
Thank you, Ken.
Okay, do you think any politics is being played there? Do you suppose Aaron Reznor is sneaking around and kind of probably financing a good percentage of this recall?
Yeah, I'm willing to bet money. I mean, she, you know, after you saw the video of her white victory party that turned out to not to be necessarily true, the victory party was there. It was actually quite interesting. Everybody dressed in white, and it was very, very spacious, shall we say. I can believe that she's funding a new campaign effort, yes.
I'll bet she knew exactly how Hillary Clinton felt when she lost to Trump. Let's go with this last clip. This is Leslie. Leslie is a very well-spoken young lady that she doesn't beat around the bush. She gets it right on out there. Shoot! Okay, we're going to shoot here pretty quick. Clip number 6.
She's nodding her head, so she's working on it.
That's okay. Leslie.
Oh, here it is.
Chris.
Hi. All right, so Kevin, you pissed off a group, huh? And we all just learned that you're the biggest threat to our next pandemic. It's a lot of weight to carry. Well, Kevin, I don't know what you said or how you said it, but if she came up to you after to speak with you and didn't like your response, I think there's other ways to address it than creating a mob full of angry people. Yeah. Looks political to me. You are the furthest from abusive, and all three of you are the most respectful and least misogynistic men that I've ever worked with. Well, since 2020, the largest group of patriotic advocates have awoken, and they've become angry too. And there's a large army of us that are grateful for what you are doing. Kevin, we're fighting for you. We'll continue to fight for you through March. I'm also really glad that everyone wants to talk respect. A lot of us come up here wanting to see the real work get done, not listen to those doing nothing for our community, but further the division of our county, beat down those who are trying to do the real work.
Christina!
And for what gain? There's a whole
group. So there you have it.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, she's right. You know, they have awoken us. And I use very, I guess, descriptive words in describing liberals such as evil, traitorous, dishonest, liars, because they've called us deplorables. They've called us right-wing extremists. They've called us all kinds of stuff. And if we're not ready and prepared to give them back what they're dishing out to us, we're in trouble. So this lady is right when she says they've awoken us. Congratulations. You guys have done a great job.
That has been one of my complaints about the Republicans for 20, 25 years.
They're not fighters.
You know what? Thank God we have so much confidence in our FBI that I think it's 61 Republicans voted with the Democrats to build them a new building.
Yeah. Yeah. And that just tells you they're not Republicans. You know, our country's broke. We have no money. And they're going to go build a probably billion, because it's going to have to be secure, facility. And Republicans are doing it in the name of bipartisan. And yet there's never, ever been in my recent memory of a Democrat really voting on a Republican thing to claim bipartisanship.
Well, you know, they probably do the same math that Jeff Godert uses when it comes to the recall. Kevin Cry has cost us millions and millions by canceling out the Dominion contract, when in fact he saved us $200,000 a year. And when I called him on that, he says, well, he still cost us millions of dollars. Well, where at? Where is the millions of dollars Kevin's cost us? In fact, it looks to me like he's given money out of his pocket to this community to help the kids.
Well, and, you know, that's the best way to defeat a liberal, is when they come up with some stupid statement, which pretty much is when they open their mouth. Ask them why. Where's the proof? How did you find that out? And you're going to hear them chew on their tongue, because exactly what you said, Nick. Just where did it go? Where did the money go? Where did he spend it? Where did it? And they can't. They'll just throw their hands in the air and walk away.
And the problem with the Republicans is they haven't had the fortitude to stand up and ask those questions.
Well, I've been invited a couple times to the Republican dinner out of the blue from people that were members, and I got to meet the young kid who's doing all the flag stuff. That was an honor for me to meet him. But I'm looking around the room there, and it's full of people who are not conservative. It's full of rhinos. It's got Stephanie Bridget, who doesn't do her job. It had Joe Comente, who's not a true conservative. And so
he said he is.
The Republicans have lost the story, and the reason they're losing support is they don't have a good message anymore. They are more concerned about being bipartisan and inclusive.
Getting along. Can't we just all get along?
Instead of doing exactly what the liberals do. If they did that, look how well it's working for the liberals. They're able to motivate an incredibly small group of people who have big mouths and bad attitudes. If the conservatives actually started standing up, it would...
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR, Chef.